GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's tariffs against Canada and Mexico and China are now in effect, and it won't be long until you feel it, says Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi.
Everything from vehicles to appliances to consumer electronics, all those things will take time to filter through, but I suspect by Memorial Day, we'll all feel the effects of the higher prices on all these different products.
China and Canada already responding with their own tariffs on U.S. goods, Mexico continuing to try to negotiate. The White House has ordered a pause in military aid to Ukraine, saying Ukrainian President Zelensky needs to be more appreciative of the U.S. that it's already received. Tonight, the president delivers his first address of his second administration to a joint session of Congress, at which he will lay out priorities for the next 4 years. 88-year-old Pope Francis in guarded condition, suffering two medical emergencies on Monday at the Rome Hospital, where he's been for nearly 3 weeks. This is ABC News. Strong storms whipping across much of the middle part of the country, threats of blizzards and possible tornadoes from Dallas through Michigan. Some Mardi Gras parades in New Orleans canceled. Others have been rescheduled. TikTok now facing a new lawsuit over kids and safety.
The lawsuit, unsealed yesterday, raises more concerns about child safety on the app, claiming there's rampant sexual and financial exploitation of children on TikTok Live, and saying 70% of 13 to 15-year-olds on the app claimed they were over 18 when signing up. TikTok says that data is outdated.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley, the suit also shining light on TikTok's finances. The platform made nearly $2 billion in sales from TikTok Live in one quarter in 2023. And the Los Angeles Kings apologizing for some of the scarves it sold during Armenian Heritage Night last month. The scarves were made in Turkey, which is blamed for the deaths of 1.5 million Armenians. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Did you know VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served?
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll talk about Secretary of Defense Hegseth requiring a What Did You Do Last Week list from civilians. And Luke Mathers is in for Tuesday Tangents. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with showers today in the mid-40s. Tonight, rain likely, an inch or more possible with a low of 35. Rain will change to snow tomorrow with snow likely tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. There could be a few inches of accumulation with strong northerly wind gusts creating blowing snow at times on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Coming up on the Earl Ingram Show, Dr. Anthony Eastry to address the attacks on social services. Later, I have a very special guest who will join us.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Well, at 12:01 this morning, tariffs went into effect against Canada and Mexico, major trade partners for farmers, and an escalated level of tariffs also against China. What does it all mean? Well, we're going to do our best to try to break it down for you on a Tuesday. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing in West Bend, is going to be joining us to give us a perspective on how the market's viewing this latest development. Was it already anticipated? That's one of the questions we'll focus in on. And how is it going to impact production agriculture? Everything from fertilizer to where we market our goods, we're in the crosshairs. Also joining us this morning, Shelley Meyer, Executive Director of Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. Next week is their annual business conference. No doubt the current situation as far as global trade will take up some of that program. We'll get some highlights from Shelley as well. And I mentioned it yesterday, maple syrup season has begun in Wisconsin. Believe it or not, that industry also paying attention to tariffs. We'll see if we can't get it all in the short period of time we're with you. Weather-wise, it looks like rain is going to be with us again today, probably redeveloping again this afternoon. Daytime highs today right around 51 degrees. Winds out of the south, about 10 miles an hour. For Wednesday, rain in the morning, then possibly snow in the afternoon. Kind of depends on where you are and what the temperatures are. The temperatures will be falling pretty rapidly tomorrow, probably a high near 41 in the morning, and then we'll drift into the 30s and maybe even cooler Wednesday afternoon. We'll find out what Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that in about 15 minutes.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
A few years ago, Wisconsin started expanding its MesoNet. This is a network of weather stations across the state that tracks valuable forecast and soil data. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. We're catching up with Chris Kucharik. He's a professor of plant and agroecosystem sciences at UW-Madison, and he's leading the expansion of what's called WiscoNet. They plan to have about 80 weather stations placed around the state before the end of the year, with at least one in every county. He gives us a status report.
A MesoNet itself is a network of automated weather and soil environmental monitoring stations that we're putting together across the state. There's about 38 states in the U.S. that have MesoNet, so it's not like we're doing something that's unique but desperately needed. So we collect a suite of meteorological variables, that's temperature, precipitation, wind speed, sunlight, solar radiation, humidity or dew point, and leaf wetness. And then in the soil, we're also collecting soil temperature and moisture at 5 depths down to about 3 feet below the surface. And that's happening about every 5 minutes. Currently, we're up to 58 stations. We started with only about a dozen about 2 years ago. We have about 12 more identified sites for installation next spring. So these are located on farms, public land, at our agricultural research stations. We have some nature centers involved. The NRCS has some demonstration farms that we've linked up with and have put stations there.
What do these weather stations offer that people aren't already getting from, like, the National Weather Service or maybe their own personal weather station on their farm.
Right. Yeah. Good question. So, yeah, everybody can get on their phone and get, you know, up to the minute, you know, or at least you think it's up to the minute weather information. But that's not always the case. A lot of that weather information is pulling from a limited number of stations around the state, you know, or around the country, depending on where you are. A lot of that data often comes from airport observing stations that are affiliated with the National Weather Service. Those are typically updated, though, hourly. And so what we're providing is increased coverage to the point where when we're done with this, we think no one will be more than about 20 miles away from an automated station. So, and that's where the term MesoNet, it's, you know, on that scale of density in terms of the number of stations. From there, it's also the products and the decision support tools and things that we've been developing that are currently not really readily available on anyone's phone or in an app. And that would be, you know, current maps. It might be growing degree day models for farmers that, you know, help model pest and disease development, particularly for like specialty crop growers around the state or even our corn and soy growers. And we're hoping, you know, by the time we're done that, you know, the dashboard, you know, or an app on a phone will be sort of like a one-stop shop for weather information. We'll have our own network, but we'll be pulling in information that people already have available and sort of have a super network and super information highway of weather data and soil data.
Yeah. And even though you don't have an app yet, people can still get this specialized information online with their smartphones. You have a website to go to.
Right. That's wisconet.wisc.edu. So if you just even Google WiscoNet, it'll pop up. It'll direct you to the website. You can download the raw data there. You can look at some of the tools and other information, you know, that we're generating at that website to your heart's content. So
from the people who have been poking around on the website and utilizing the information, how many people are using WiscoNet or the state's MesoNet already? What are they using it for? And are they giving you any feedback?
Yeah. So we are getting great feedback from a variety of groups, whether it be our colleagues through the UW system, researchers who desperately wanted and needed, you know, a network like this so they don't have to put their own weather stations out at their research sites, from the general public, from the National Weather Service. There's some good examples where they've actually used that information in their forecasting and issuance of weather warnings. A couple examples were a year ago in February when we had those two tornadoes in southeast Wisconsin. They were studying the WiscoNet MesoNet stations for current information. And then just recently, I think it was around the holidays when we were getting some freezing rain, they were looking at the soil temperature information from WiscoNet to understand if that rain was going to freeze on contact or not with the ground. And beyond that, it's, you know, the farm groups, the specialty crop growers that we're working with. We worked all last year to help refine some of the disease and pest models for them, meeting with them, trying to understand their needs to help develop those models and fine-tune them specifically. So I think the stats and the tracking on the web suggests we're getting hundreds of hits per day, and a lot of those are unique, you know, users and first-time users and hopefully repeat users as time goes on.
You want to know that the MesoNet has value because it's not a one-time investment. These stations are going to need maintenance. You're still putting stations in. Mm-hmm. Walk us through the price tag of this type of investment.
I think the return on investment is huge, but some people might say and ask, like, well, how much does it cost in terms of the equipment to put in a site? And it's around $11,000 for each of those sites. So as the network ages and, you know, instrumentation needs to be calibrated, it'll need to be replaced after so many years because the weather puts wear and tear on those things. There needs to be, you know, a sustained level of funding, you know, past these initial grants to help maintain this down the road. And, you know, we constantly look at different models for funding. We ask our colleagues at other states that have MesoNets, how did you keep this running in Oklahoma for 30 years? And oftentimes it's a mix of federal dollars, state resources, maybe some of the specialty crop or other crop growers and associations themselves are helping contribute, you know, to maintain that cost. Sometimes the universities themselves are helping support the effort. So it's kind of like your retirement funding. You don't want all your eggs in one basket. You want to be diversified in those funding streams. And that's sort of what my goal and my job and role as director is, to help keep that going and what keeps me up at night.
Oh, no. Well, hey, if 38 other states have a MesoNet, then, you know, it can be done. Again, timeline is?
We're going to shoot for 80 by the end of this year. And there's a possibility that that number might go up. I mean, there's always a possibility that other groups might want to buy their own station and increase, you know, the amount in the network. And there might be some farming or specialty crop groups that like to do that. And we can absorb some of that. I, you know, an upper limit is somewhat dependent on sustained funding, because the more we have out there, the more you have to take care of, which means, do we have enough people in place to maintain that? But I feel very good about, you know, where we're at right now and what our growth rate will be.
All in the name of real-time weather tracking, which may be used to keep your farm profitable. It may also be used for safety.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Protecting people, lives, property, and those commodities. You know, the soil information that's being collected is, that's somewhat unique. Not every state is collecting soil temperature and soil moisture data. And that soil moisture information is particularly important to the drought monitor that's issued each week in the U.S. and helping to funnel financial support, relief, and, you know, resources back to our farmers, because it helps provide a direct verification of the type of conditions that they've faced. And so it's like a direct confirmation of basically what's been going on, rather than guessing, you know, who's been maybe suffering the most when we hit drought periods.
And you can see the state's MesoNet for yourself by visiting wisconet.wisc.edu. Chris Kucharik joining us. He's a professor of plant and agroecosystem sciences at UW-Madison, and he's leading the expansion of WiscoNet. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In our last report, we explained how Executive Order 14215 claims presidential authority over the FEC and other independent agencies, putting fair elections at risk. Manipulation of the FCC, which sets broadcasting rules for political advertising, could also impact elections. Until 1987, the Federal Communications Commission followed the Fairness Doctrine, ensuring equal access to the airwaves and balanced coverage of candidates. The Communications Act of 1996 protects reasonable access by qualified federal candidates and equal time opportunities for federal, state, and local candidates. While it no longer reviews ads for accuracy, it still prohibits censorship of candidate-sponsored ads, requires the paid-for-by disclosure, and mandates records be available to the public. What if those rules were ignored? Extremist control of the FCC could revoke licenses of broadcasters who disagree with the administration, as threatened by Trump against NBC, ABC, and CBS in recent months. It could allow broadcasters to pick and choose their advertisers, potentially silencing competition. Unequal enforcement could tilt the playing field. In short, a partisan takeover of the FCC could impact election fairness not only for the 2026 midterms, but for years to come. We have more on the FCC's role in elections at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
It's able to draw a lot of moisture up from the Gulf of Mexico, and that's all going to ride right up toward the Midwest, right up into Wisconsin. So we're talking about a low that's going to move up out of the south, Kansas, maybe even northern Oklahoma. It will pass off to the south of Wisconsin as we make our way through tomorrow. Now, precipitation wrapping around all of this includes some rain in northern parts of Illinois, Indiana, and a lower Michigan, curling back then to the northwest and west up into northeast Wisconsin. Green Bay, Door Peninsula, Antigo up to Tomahawk, all seeing rain, maybe a little mix of freezing rain in there as well. Some rain over to the west from Stevens Point back toward Chippewa Falls, the Twin Cities. Another band of rain from the western parts of Lake Superior through central Minnesota. So as that low moves in, we get little waves. Some rain today could get heavier at times, especially later in the day. Rain will be around overnight and into Wednesday in eastern Wisconsin. There's the big line. You look at, about Green Bay and down through central Wisconsin, toward the Dells and down toward Prairie du Chien, everywhere east and south of that line, talking about a lot of rain. Further west, there's a winter weather advisory, goes in effect at midnight tonight till 6 p.m. Wednesday. And further north of that, Eau Claire and to Tomahawk and up toward Rice Lake in that area, they're under the winter storm warning. That pulls in by later tonight into the day tomorrow, and that's where snow may be heaviest into that northwest and north central part of Wisconsin, where somewhere up to 3, even 6 inches of snow may be possible. The rain from Green Bay south to Madison and Milwaukee could be up to 1 or maybe even 2 inches. Very wet conditions. This system has a lot of moisture to work with. We talk about March being the snowiest month sometimes, where we get a lot of snow. It's like real heavy wet stuff. Well, we're going to see rain in the east and snow in the west. Temperatures getting colder than tomorrow. But believe it or not, when we start looking on toward Thursday and Friday, back to normal and a bit above. In fact, we're talking some 40s. Even as we head toward the weekend, it doesn't sound too bad. But if there's snow on the ground, it's going to be a little harder to warm up, and there'll be some cleanup still going on, I'm sure, once we make our way through midweek and the latter part of the week. And it does look to be a little bit drier as we make our way on toward the weekend and early next week, too. I'll have those details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to 2 more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, Stu, I'll tell you, for folks that are headed towards Green Bay for the U.S. Champion Cheese event, it's going to be an interesting drive. If you're coming from the west, maybe snow, because the champions are announced on Thursday. Coming from the south, you're going to get wet, huh?
Yep, that's going to be how it is. But by Thursday, things should be a little quieted down. We'll have cleanup, I'm sure, by that time. Let's talk about it. We start off today with more cloudy skies and some rain. Some of that rain this morning redeveloping here later in the daytime. Very mild today, heading into the upper 40s and low 50s. And those south winds about 5 to 10. And, of course, that rain lasts into the nighttime, could mix with snow in the west. Temps are going to fall down in the low to mid 30s. Southeast winds becoming northerly about 5 to 15. And then cloudy skies Wednesday. We expect that rain in the east could mix with snow. Snow in the west. And like I'm talking about, western Wisconsin maybe up toward 3 or even 6 inches of snow. And there could be near an inch or two of rain in the east. Temps on Wednesday falling down toward the lower 30s. And things could get slippery then later Wednesday. North winds very strong, gusting up to 25 and 35. It's all done then, Pam. You talk about Thursday. sunny skies, upper 30s, maybe a 40 in the south, but a real mix of precipitation tonight and Wednesday.
Jeez, and I guess the nice part about it is I don't hear you saying a lot about ice. You know, that's the nasty one.
It's going to be there in those areas with transition, but that's going to be kind of a hit or miss area. We're not going to talk about a big wide stripe, you know.
Yeah.
But just be careful when it gets going later on tonight and Wednesday.
All right. Good enough, my friend. We will talk about it tomorrow morning and see what's unfolding, okay?
All right. See you then.
Stu Mocker, Ag Meteorologist, bringing you the weather details you may or may not want to hear about. Now, remember, Rainfall Reporters, I need you. Our talk text line is always live, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Please plan on using it.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Ready.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillman Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WGBW.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter.
You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's tariffs against Canada and Mexico and China are now in effect, and it won't be long until you feel it, says Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi.
Everything from vehicles to appliances to consumer electronics, all those things will take time to filter through. But I suspect by Memorial Day, we'll all feel the effects of the higher prices on all these different products.
China and Canada already responding with their own tariffs on U.S. goods, Mexico continuing to try to negotiate. The White House has ordered a pause in military aid to Ukraine, saying Ukrainian President Zelensky needs to be more appreciative of the U.S. that it's already received. Tonight, the president delivers his first address of his second administration to a joint session of Congress, at which he will lay out priorities for the next 4 years. 88-year-old Pope Francis in guarded condition, suffering two medical emergencies on Monday at the Rome Hospital, where he's been for nearly 3 weeks. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Some fun moments during Sunday's Oscar broadcast included Queen Latifah looking like she wore a parachute to the event during her nice tribute to Quincy Jones. There was also Adrian Brody, who won his second Best Actor Oscar for his performance in the nearly four-hour-long film The Brutalist, and his acceptance speech was almost as long. There was Timothée Chalamet, who some thought was the odds-on favorite for Best Actor, dressed in a bright yellow pantsuit. Luckily, it's Hollywood, and the people around him were already wearing sunglasses. It's always exciting when history is made at such a big event. Honora writer-director Sean Baker won four Oscars for the film, becoming the first person ever to win four Academy Awards for the same film. The critically acclaimed director took home trophies for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture. He is also the film's producer, and he won an Oscar for Best Editing. Honora was the talk of the night as lead actress Mikey Madison won Best Actress, giving Honora five Oscars out of six nominations. Not a bad Sunday. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Another Brewers pitcher injured. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers manager Pat Murphy says he now has half a dozen pitchers dealing with injuries in spring training. The latest, Aaron Ashby, the lefty pitching last night against the Reds, had to leave the game with an apparent strained oblique muscle. The Reds went on to win 5-4. Ashby to undergo an MRI.
Even though it's frustrating, but just kind of, you know, what the timing feels like going on the mound.
The team has signed 36-year-old lefty Jose Quintana, who spent the last 2 years with the New York Mets. Basketball tonight. The Bucks are on the road in Atlanta to take on the Hawks. College hoops, number 12th ranked Wisconsin in the Twin Cities, 7:30 tomorrow night for a border battle with Minnesota. Did the Badgers' lack of shots fail them at Michigan State Sunday? Greg Gard.
Yeah, well, we had three possessions there at the end where we kind of had ball screen defense breakdowns is a word I'll use because I'm not going to use the word I use with the team.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, we welcome Billy Joe Bannock from First Reach Foundation and local Jeopardy contestant Ben Chan is in. Will he beat me in a round of trivia?
Then leadership coach and author Steve Jones joins the show. Join us.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy with showers today in the mid-40s. Tonight, rain likely, an inch or more possible with a low of 35. Rain will change to snow tomorrow with snow likely tomorrow afternoon into tomorrow evening. There could be a few inches of accumulation with strong northerly wind gusts creating blowing snow at times on Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 36.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
They're throwing dirt on Wisconsin and burying them.
Looks like it's going to be a soggy Tuesday across the state of Wisconsin, depending on where you are. We'll be talking about the announcement overnight, tariffs against Mexico, Canada, and an escalated tariff against China. How is it impacting our markets? John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live in about 15 minutes. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Next week, one of the premier dairy conferences in a calendar year will be back at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. More than 1,000 dairy producers from really all across the region and internationally planning to be a part of the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin's annual business conference. Joining us live this morning, their executive director, Shelley Meyer, who has really been working the long hours trying to pull together the final elements of the business conference, which is always well attended, Shelley. Let's talk a little bit about the overall tone and trends you expect to be discussed by producers, vendors, presenters at next week's event.
Well, Pam, you let out with it when you start talking about markets and everything that's happening around the world. And, you know, if we're in the dairy business, we're in the dairy business. You don't hop in and out of this when it's good. You don't just go gangbusters and shut it all off when it's not so good. And I think what we're going to be talking about in our keynotes and all the way through the sessions is not only what's happening geopolitically around the world and in our markets, but how do we manage that? And then looking at some of the trends, thinking out farther, you know, how do we prepare our dairies? And we've got a lot of content there for our people. We look at our conference now, we reach three generations. So we've got stuff for the future success, which is our high school kids. We've got a lot of college and technical school students that will be coming in for the career fairs. And then, of course, we've got the content for those who are making the decisions, the executives, the managers, the owners on the dairy. And it's about getting through this year successfully.
Shelley Meyer joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. If you'd like to find out more about the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, especially preview that business conference coming up next week at the Alliant Energy Center, pdpw.org is their website. PDPW.org. Shelley, let's pivot to the global reach that the annual business conference provides for any attendees. You've got some very interesting folks coming in from outside the United States to lean in on what they're seeing policy-wise within their own parameters and also kind of forecast or at least lend some insight into what we might be looking forward to. Tell us about those guests.
Sure. We have dairy farmers coming in from Ireland, France, and the Netherlands. And daring is daring, but obviously they work in a little bit different business climate. But it'll be very, very interesting this year to gather their insights on where they've been, because they've been trending ahead on the discussions of sustainability. They no longer have as much government support as they had. How are they navigating that? But Also, what is their perspective right now? What's happening with the tariffs and some of the markets that we're seeing? And I think it'll be very, very interesting to sit next to them. And when it comes down to it, daring is daring. We're milking cows and producing food for people. And what does it look like across the ponds? We know that a lot of those trends that impact us here in America start often in Europe and migrate their way over. So what's coming next? Our job is to help our farmers be proactive and prepared.
And one of the elements you mentioned, the Netherlands, how does it feel to have the government basically putting you in the crosshairs? Last time I checked, the Netherlands trying to eliminate dairy there as part of their carbon footprint.
Well, we've been trending close with that for a long time. Since 2013, we do an exchange. So we send dairy farmers there from our leadership board and staff every year, and they come over here. And, you know, we've been tracking the sustainability, and the Europeans paid their farmers. The government paid their farmers to figure out what their carbon footprint score was. And now they're taking some of that information, and really those farms have a different experience than what we're having here, where we're doing it independently. But in the Netherlands and Germany and France and the Danes, a lot of Europe, they're putting either a tax on them or they're trying to cut down the amount of cows that they can have and emissions. And it's kind of ironic in a world that, I mean, the Europeans probably still have a generation that remembers being hungry. And, you know, they're being pretty hard on their farmers.
Yeah. Shelley Meyer joining us live this morning, a dairy producer herself, executive director, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, their business conference next Wednesday and Thursday at the Alliant Energy Center. Again, if you want to check out details, pdpw.org. Shelley, will you take walk-ups next week?
Oh my gosh, we're dairy farmers. We completely get it how it is. We expect walk-ins. So there's no penalty for that. And we know how it goes. We're watching the weather, and dairy farmers, you never know what's going to happen. I think the biggest thing that we want fellow producers to understand is we know that going into this next year, just like every other year, there's going to be good times and there's going to be some tough times. Right now, we've got spring biting at our tail. It's coming really fast. And this conference is your big opportunity in 2 days to get we've got 51 presenters, 54 sessions. There are topics on business, and the whole point of it is to fuel you up so that you're ready to go and you're ready to win in this game called dairy, and that you have the emotional wherewithal to get through things. And we will send you home full of information, and you'll also have some time to connect with friends.
Yeah.
That's what this conference is about, and that's why it's time now.
That camaraderie factor, again, I say it over and over again, really, regardless of what conference I'm going to, that camaraderie element, you cannot underplay.
That's absolutely right. And it's people just like you. They get it. They're walking in the same shoes. And it's harder these days. Farmers are farther apart from one another, and we just put our heads down and work. It's time that we lift our head up and get out and fill up our cup.
Beautiful. Appreciate you rising and driving so that you could join us this morning, Shelley. I'll see you next week at the Alliant Energy Center.
Absolutely. I hope I see all those dairy farmers.
You bet.
Shelley. Take care.
Shelley Meyer joining us live this morning, Executive Director, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. Again, their conference Wednesday and Thursday of next week. You can find out more, pdpw.org, pdpw.org. John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live in just a moment. As you might expect, markets are down in overnight electronic trade. I've been watching my screen bleed all morning long. Currently, we've got cash corn down about 7, currently at 449 and a half. December new crop, that is currently down about 4, stands at 447 and a half. The nearby soybeans are down 13 cents at 998 and a half. November new crop down 13 cents at 1005 and three quarters. We've got new crop wheat this morning down 4, currently at 573 a bushel. Barrel cheese yesterday was up a quarter of a cent at 178 and a quarter, but 40 pound block cheese, again, in an effort to get our price competitive with the European price that is looking to move in to Mexico specifically, we dropped another 5.5 cents to 172. The AA butter yesterday unchanged at 234 and a half per pound. Up next, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us. We know that agriculture is in the crosshairs when it comes to retaliatory tariffs. What's that mean to the marketplace? What's happening with that? John's going to explain next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. The Todd Alba Show.
Trump and Vance verbally assaulted the president of Ukraine, an ally of the U.S. Trump defending the president of Russia, a known dictator. This is a complete capitulation to our sworn enemies. And it's time for Republicans, my former party that I left in 2011, to speak the hell up. Because if we don't, it's not going to be long before we don't have anything left to defend.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Boy, John, I mean, this is going to be the storyline, I'm afraid, for the foreseeable future. Tell me what you're gathering in a short period of time on what China's planning, Mexico, Canada, and its impact on agriculture.
Yeah, we'll just get right into the nuts and bolts of it because, you know, the tariffs we knew were coming at least. And then when President Trump kind of confirmed it yesterday afternoon after the ag markets closed, basically saying that the Mexico-Canada tariffs are going, that 10% tariff on China was going to be kicking in. And so those fell into place. We saw the stock market sell off very aggressively off that news, did get some of those values back as it went into its close. But the biggest thing we're always focusing on is what is going to be the retaliatory tariff in terms of what's going to impact those U.S. ag products going into other countries. China is the first one to step up to the plate on the overnight session. They announced that there's going to be a 15% tariff on U.S. chicken, wheat, corn, cotton, and an extra levy of 10% on soybeans, pork, sorghum, beef, aquatic products, fruits and vegetables, and dairy imports as of March 10th, in addition to another 15% levy on U.S. exports to China. And well, that will hit about 15% of U.S. exports into China. And so, again, so there's our first news on retaliatory tariffs. And the stock and the equity market, the ag markets did not like that as we sold off fairly aggressively. Now we're starting to rebound already, you know, as we get into the morning session, because a lot of this was already probably priced in, given the strong sell-off we've seen in some of these ags over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. And as we've noted, the export volume that's been moving aggressively was also in play. A lot of people buying in advance expecting this. Let's pivot a little bit, John, and go to Mexico. Mexico, number one dairy target for a lot of our U.S. product. Number one when it comes to pork and had been escalating. Let's focus on Mexico and what's at risk there.
Yeah, that's probably the two biggest areas that we're going to see maybe the concern, especially and as well as corn. Number one buyer of U.S. corn right now is Mexico by a long way compared to other countries, as Mexico has been aggressively buying U.S. corn realistically since we put our low in August. You know, so but again, dairy products, again, we're going to see fairly big possible impacts there. Again, the milk market really has been on a slide the last couple of weeks again. So, again, probably pricing a lot of this in at that time frame. And then same thing in the hog market too. We saw a pretty big drop in the hog prices. In fact, we're down about $20 off of its most recent high, just because of that impossible impact of those tariffs here. So like I said, maybe the market's priced a lot of this in today. We could have one of those. We've been having the sell the rumor. Maybe today is going to be buy the fact, or at least maybe the selling pressure could pause. We'll just have to see how the traders handle things here this afternoon or this morning when the market opens up for real with full-time trade.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. I remind you about their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Also, toll-free number that you can reach out to John if you've got questions about this scenario, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. Let's try to put a different spin on this for a moment, John. If our markets get closed out, Mexico, China, for the average consumer, might they see discounts, for example, on U.S. pork to try to keep up some of the retail demand? Just trying to put, it's kind of like lipstick on a pig. Is there anything good for our U.S. consumers to think about in light of these tariffs?
You know, that's always a fun question because, you know, you hear the talk, inflationary, you know, tariffs come into play, could raise prices. But again, we're bringing down the whole commodity sector in terms of value. So realistically, sometimes we may not see the local consumer impact. Again, we'll have to find out how that kind of plays out in terms of some of those products, because, again, we ship a lot of products there, but we use a lot of those same products at home. You know, so it depends on what the product is. You know, obviously, if we're bringing something in the United States that's something we don't raise here, that could be an area we do see some elevated costs in terms of the food section. But at the same time, you know, again, right now, global prices are coming down to match where these values are going to be. And that in turn could just keep things very, very stable. In terms of overall prices, at least in the short term, you know, as we see how things kind of play out. So, again, there's a lot of questions how tariffs impact in terms of overall consumer prices. I think a lot of it really depends on what good that is in terms of what's being brought into the country and what is going to be tariffed and how much.
You know, we talk about our competitors in the world marketplace. I'm going to assume that this is wonderful news for South America. Are they ready for these escalated sales, John? I'm not even worried so much about price, just the volume transactions.
Yeah, you know, and realistically, coming back to just a couple of those different products, the biggest ones, obviously, the greens coming out of South America. You know, we've seen such a ramp up in purchases from China for those countries for both corn and soybeans. In fact, even we look at that corn tariff here against the United States corn, China has barely stepped to the table and bought U.S. corn this year. This might lock the door that they don't pick up any, but our exports are off the charts this year because of other countries stepping in. So a lot of times you get a reshuffling of the deck chairs when you see China move somewhere else, pick up that product from this country. Well, the other countries that needed it from Brazil go somewhere else, they come to us. So there's still, again, a lot of things and a lot of moving parts when it comes to trade. But at least right now, in terms of supply, Brazil, Argentina, other countries in South America will have that supply and be readily available. Things like beef, again, the quality of beef that comes out of the United States is something special compared to what we see out of those rest of those countries. So that, again, could come into play a little bit more there in terms of what type of product gets sent overseas and that has that tariff on it.
Yeah, it is going to be an interesting story that will continue to unfold. Again, like we said, John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on the Midwest Farm Report. TotalFarmMarketing.com, 800-334-9779, the number to reach out to him if you're curious. What else am I missing, John? I mean, I don't want to get tunnel vision and only talk to you about tariffs. Is there anything else going on out there that we need to keep an eye on that's a driver of markets as well?
Well, one of the things that comes as a counterpoint to this weakness in the U.S. dollar, we've been on a bit of a downtrend here now since the first of the year. That's something we need to keep an eye on, because if that dollar index starts pulling back, helps make U.S. goods available. Just also just general concerns regarding the macroeconomic environment. I think that's something that's been also weighing on the markets these last couple of weeks. So keep an eye on those big outlier pieces out there that could just drive markets in general.
Yeah. All right, my friend, rest up, save your voice. We'll catch up with you next week and see where we stand. Could be all gone, could be even bigger. Well, I'm sure we'll have something to talk about.
Sounds good. Let's have a good week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live this morning. And like we said, as you could probably tell, John battling some illness along with microphone challenges. So we appreciate him joining us. What do you think about all this tariff situation? Is there a particular area that you're watching? I know a lot of Wisconsin farmers that are getting ready to head for the fields. You better hope that you've already got your fertilizer prices locked in, for example, and maybe even those forward contract opportunities. If you've got those locked in, you may be ahead of the game as well. Talk text line always open to you. That's 877-301-FARM. Anytime you have a notion, go ahead and share. You can call it or you can text it. 877-301-3276. Also, last call if you're interested in going along with me on our farm tour to the Canadian Rockies. We'll be leaving July 26th. You need to get your reservations made today. HolidayVacations.com. Keyword Pam will get you all set up. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
Do you know or work with kids who have special healthcare needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/WISCWAY. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Specialty crop growers are facing obstacles from every direction. That's next on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
If you want your mind and body to be up to the task of running the farm, pay attention to what you eat. A proper diet goes a long way in helping to promote your physical and mental health. And it's not just what you eat, but also how much you eat. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. In yesterday's show, we heard a Mississippi sweet potato grower share the misery that specialty crop growers are facing. She spoke at a Senate Ag Committee hearing that also featured Tim Boring, who heads the Michigan Department of Agriculture and Rural Development.
Unfortunately, for many specialty crops, times have never been more tenuous. What once provided an avenue for farmers to diversify their products has forced many to choose whether or not their farm will welcome back the next generation. Whether it's due to trade pressures, rising input costs, climate variability, labor constraints, the threats of pests and disease, many specialty crops in this country are either harder to grow, more difficult to get to market, or challenging as ever to reach the consumer.
But wait, there's more, says Boring.
For instance, last year in Michigan, cherry farmers lost between 30 and 75% of their crops because of abnormal weather events that drove unprecedented insect and pest pressure. Losses such as these are becoming far more common. A farm bill that provides grower support, such as through new research, helps ensure the continuation of family farms in the face of these unprecedented challenges and is critical for the long-term viability of specialty crops in Michigan and across the country.
Others appearing before the Ag Committee shared similar stories, prompting one senator to call for a rapid fix for the system. You'll hear from him tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Appleton-based comedian John Egan and filmmaker Craig Knitt, who joins me in the studio. That's right, folks. He's going to fight Green Bay traffic. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Everyone loves to say that they're Irish around St. Patrick's Day, but are you really? Honestly, are you? Well, if you're not sure, and if those pesky DNA tests kind of make you feel uncomfortable, then the Irish Genealogy Workshop on Monday, March 10th at the Brown County Library might be for you. This series is going to offer extensive information about the sources available to discover your Irish or Scottish roots. Registration is required. May the luck of the Irish be on your side and head to wgbw.fm, click events, and maybe you won't make a liar out of those Kiss Me I'm Irish t-shirts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Could be the start of an all-out trade war. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
President Trump imposing a 25% tax on all goods coming across the border from Mexico and Canada, and an additional tax on Chinese products. Economists warn those tariffs are paid for by American businesses, and those costs are then passed on to American consumers by raising prices.
The White House has paused military aid to Ukraine. The White House saying it will be reviewed to ensure it's contributing to a solution in the fight against Russia's invasion. President Trump will stand before a joint session of Congress this evening. He is expected to talk about Ukraine and the tariffs and to explain how his work to slash the size of the federal government will help the country grow. Many Democrats plan to bring recently fired federal workers as their guests to the speech. Pope Francis stabilized and now off mechanical ventilation as he continues to be treated for double pneumonia. This is ABC News. The Supreme Court today will hear arguments.